Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, Israel. This is your teacher, Eric. Bless you, bless you, bless you, family. Let me know how I'm coming in so I can get a sound check. We'll see if we are good to go. If we have the internet working with us today and we don't have all the, you know, things that they're trying to do to stop getting the word out, like they seem to do all the time with the righteous and those that have something to say. It's amazing how all the BS and the garbage from the homosexual agendas and everything else they got moving, you know, the vaccine advertisements and the things that they want out there, how that seems to get out crystal clear, how your inbox seems to be inundated with that kind of stuff. But when somebody comes on speaking righteously, proclaiming the word of Yah, that seems to get just a little bit shut down now, does it? Doesn't it not? Well, saints, go and grab your favorite beverage, or if you're working on the land, we'll just keep on working and turn this up a little bit louder so everybody can hear, and let's get after it. Hey, so I'm talking about the COVID thing just a little bit, okay? Now, what they're thinking is, and what we are seeing is that the COVID, the shutdowns are going to try to make another run for it. And is it any surprise that we're going into flu season? Yeah, that now they're starting to drum up new strains of COVID that are going to be hitting, and that, oh, if you know, the people who do not get vaccinated, well, now you're the problem. You're the problem that they've got to deal with, and what they're going to try to do is pit the vaccinated against the non-vaccinated, those that stand for righteousness and those that stand for nothing because they fall everything. And how many doors do you go to that says, hey, if you have the vaccine or been, you know, been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask in here. But those of you that have not been vaccinated, you got to wear a mask, right? They want to mark you so they can clearly see who you are. Oh, how funny, isn't it not? Well, not too funny, actually. But here they come again with their shutdowns on the way, and you have other ministries out there. Did you hear what I said? That you have other, not straightway, other ministries out there that are trying to prepare the saints of their congregations, and they're saying, we're going to get you through this just like we did the last time. Well, I want to ask, what exactly did you do for your people the last time? I bet they were scrambling just a little bit, were they not? Well, they're telling people, do you know what you should go do? You should go plant a garden. They're telling people, do you know what you should go do? That you should stock stuff up in your pantries, and you should stock up food and water, Well, I'm here to tell you that if you haven't already planted a garden, I'm here to tell you that if you haven't already stocked your pantries, I'm here to tell you that if you haven't already had a prepared mindset, like the mindset that we see of Joseph, like the mindset that we see of Daniel, like the mindset that we see of Noah, these people in the Bible that brought forth a prepared mindset to the people. Well, if you aren't already doing that, I'm telling you, you're already in trouble. And we can clearly see that the model that Straightway has put forth is the best model that there is to get you through times of tribulation. Because if you don't have a community, if you don't have your brothers and sisters hand in hand, you're going to really struggle getting through what's coming on, coming down the pike. If you hear that, saints, I need you to give me a 7 here in the chat. Hit a 7 so I can see that you're with me. Get a 7 saying, yeah, I'm prepared. Yeah, I heard what the man of Yah shouted out, and I got my house ready. Glory, hallelujah. Because when I sit there and hear this, we'll get you through it, saints. We're going to take care of you, Israel. They were calling Straightway to get advice what they could do. They were calling Straightway to say, hey, can we come there and shack up with you guys? Well, you should have had your lamp prepared and full. You're like the foolish ones that had your lamp empty. See, everyone thinks that's just about when the Messiah comes. No, that's about the here and now as well. Why did you take and consider one, but you left the other undone? So what we're going to be talking about today, saints, as we move on, and before I move on, I just want to say one more time, you need to be prepared, and you need to be ready, and you need to surround yourself with like-minded people and the Most High Yah. So when they try to bring this BS down the pike, you're not going to be left scrambling. Because if you thought the last kind of times were bad with what they did, it's only going to get worse because that was just a feeler. They were just testing the market with their satanic agenda. So let's talk about aggressively pursuing your faith. Aggressively. Do you aggressively pursue your faith? I mean, do you go after it with violence? Do you take hold of Yahweh's kingdom aggressively? Or are you just a person that's sitting on the bench? Are you just a bystander in all of this? Or are you a leader? Do you know that how many leaders that we need in Israel? Because, yeah, you can have the leaders of congregations, and you can have the leaders of leaders, and you can have the leaders of communities, but we also have those that lead their own homes. Do you know that most of every one of you have somebody, a friend, or a family member that actually looks up to you? That actually looks up to you, whether you know it or not, whether you see it or not. You are being watched. Why? Because the Bible said that you are to be the salt of the earth. Because the Bible said that you are to be the light that shines in the darkness. You're to be the light under the hill, and you're not to hide it under a bushel, no, are you? That's just not a childhood song. That's the word of Elohim, and that's the truth. And so they should be able to see, and they will see your good works, and they're going to glorify your Father, which is in the heavenlies. Can I get an amen and a so be it on that one? So that means that you have people out there that are watching you. When you go to work, you got people out there that are watching you. When you go to mail a letter, when you go to grab a carton of milk or whatever you're going to the grocery store for, when you do any trip outside, inside, or on your own land, you have people watching you. Now, how about you do one thing for old teacher Eric, will you? Start acting like it. Acting like it. And the way that you're going to do that is you're going to pursue your faith aggressively. Take time out to have a sip of your favorite beverage, saints. Go ahead and get that. I'm getting that, and I'm moving along. Let's hit it. We're going to go to Matthew. We're going to Matthew 11, And we're going to begin in at verse 2. So Matthew 11, and we're going to go verse 2. In fact, Brother Ugly, put verse 2 and 3 up on the screen for the saints, those that need to see that. And we're going to kick it off because I want to start and show you the ministry of John and what Yeshua thought of the ministry of John. Okay, Matthew 11, verse 2 and 3 says, "Now when Yohanan had heard in the prison the works of Messiah." So Yohanan is in the prison, and we know what happens to Yohanan. He doesn't get out of prison now, does he? Because he stands for righteousness, even though he's in chains, and then what do? They behead him for it, do they not? So go read the account if you're unfamiliar. But John the Baptist, Yohanan the Immerser, is beheaded. And what happens is, and that's because he called out his Herod and the brother for what they were doing and that wife, the adulterous situation that they're in. And so what does the daughter ask for? Well, the head of Yohanan the Immerser, and that's what is given. So, well, Yohanan knows it's gonna happen, right? Because Yohanan has this intimate relationship with the Most High Yah, and he knows that his days on this earth are coming to an end. And so what does he do? He sends out two of his top ones that they can go and speak to Yeshua HaMashiach. And so it says here that in verse 3, "And said unto him," so the top ones of Yohanan that were sent to Yeshua, said to Yeshua, "Art thou He?" So that was the question that Yohanan told his two top ones to go and ask. He said, "Ask him, if you are he, if you are the Messiah, or do we look for another?" It's kind of interesting how back then they were always looking for the Messiah. Their side conversations, their conversations over dinner, their conversations before bed, they weren't talking about this, that, and the other, and the weather, and all the gossip. No, it was always about the Messiah. So you got to ask yourself, what is the sum of your conversations that you have? What does your mind meditate on? Is it the Messiah and his coming? Or is it the cares of the flesh in this world? And why I'm here to tell you that Yohanan already knew that Yeshua was the Messiah. Yohanan did not send his disciples so that Yohanan could have clearance and confirmation that Yeshua was the Messiah. Yohanan sent the disciples to ask that question so they could see the evidence and that he could pass on the torch of his ministry to the one whom it belonged to. Because Yohanan had one big old ministry rocking. You think T.D. Jakes and all these snakes, you think Clefro Dollar and you Benny Hinn and all these Joel Osteens of the world have some kind of ministry. They didn't have any kind of ministry compared to Yohanan the Immerser. And yet Yohanan was never taken over by his popularity. Yohanan was humble, and Yohanan stepped down to one more righteous than he. Yohanan decreased so that one that was righteous and it was prescribed to come could increase. The proof of this is that we know in Luke 1:41 that John, in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, heard the greeting of Mary, the salutation as she came into the door, and Yohanan leaped in the womb. Did you hear what I said? Yohanan leaped in the womb of his mother when he heard the voice of Mary, who was impregnated with Yeshua. So by the power of the rock, Yohanan knew why he was still in the womb, so much that infants in the womb aren't actually a living, breathing soul, because in the womb of his mother, Yohanan leaped for joy at the coming in of the Messiah. We also know that in Yohanan chapter 1, 29 through 34, that it reads that when Yohanan saw the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, descend and remain upon Yeshua, that was a sign that he was the son of Elohim. For Yah said that the one that my spirit descends and remains upon, that one is my son. That one is the Messiah. So Yohanan already knew exactly who the one whose sandals he wasn't even worthy to latch was. He did this to strengthen, pass on his ministry. And in Matthew 11, verse 4 through 5, it reads, Yeshua answered and said unto them, Go and show Yohanan again those things which you do hear and which you see. See, this wasn't all about talk. Yeshua didn't say, well, get me a scroll and let me flip into the prophet Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu and the rest of the law and the prophets and let me show you where it speaks of me. He says, I don't need what is written down on the page to show you who I am. I'll show you through the fruit. I'll show you through a demonstration of power exactly who I am. So it will be undeniable. It will be unmistakable. You won't get confused or think this, that, or the other. You will know for an absolute fact exactly who I am because my work will testify of me. Do you have that same testimony as you are to be an image of the Messiah? If you expect your wife here on earth to be a reflection of the glory of your husband, well then, man, you are to be a reflection and the glory of your husband, which is the Messiah. And so you should have the same testimony operating in you. And when people come to you and they want to know, hey, are you following a cult? Hey, are you going off the deep end? Hey, are you one of these people that are leading the blind into the ditch? Hey, can we trust what you are saying to be true? You don't have to open that Bible and start scripting around to chapter and verse. You can show them through the testimony and through the power of the Ruach that should be operating through you, because these signs shall follow them that believe. Mark chapter 16. Just go ahead and read the whole chapter if you haven't done it. And then in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 11, it reads, The blind receive their sight. That's a testimony. The blind receive their sight, and the lame they walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. Well, I'm glad and I praise Yeshua HaMashiach Elohim Almighty that the scales have been removed from my eyes, and that I was blind, but now I have been given eyes to see, and I can read, and I can understand the word of the Most High Yah. I thank Yahweh Almighty and Yeshua HaMashiach, the King of the heavens and the earth, that he has given me the ability that when I was lame and I could not walk in life, because I was struggling and I was cast down, that he gave me strong legs and grabbed me by the hand and raised me up, that I can walk on that straight path hand in hand with my brothers and sisters in the kingdom. I thank Yeshua HaMashiach that I was dirty and I was covered in sores of my sins, and I was unclean and undone, and that he cleansed me, not in water, but in his own blood that he shed for me and shed for you. I thank the Most High Yah that he took my ears that were deaf. And oh, I would hear the preaching, but I didn't comprehend it. And he opened those ears so that I could hear and that I can comprehend and that I can put his words into action and that I can walk. And by doing all of that, he raised me from the dead. Did you hear what I said? I said, if you can hear me, put in a 7 in the chat, because he raised me from the dead in him, that I can have life everlasting. Glory to the King. And it says right here that the poor have the gospel preached to them. Well, that isn't just saying that, you know, you only can help the poor or the ones that hear the gospel. This is saying that Yeshua HaMashiach took time to preach to the poor. Haven't you heard in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, that Yeshua said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those that were there on earth, they didn't have 2 shekels to rub together. Those that were there on earth,
that would sit there and eat the crumbs underneath the master's table, those that were there on earth, that the dogs would come and lick their sores, to them shall be given the kingdom of heaven. You need to comprehend something, Israel, is that in these earthly, fleshly kingdoms, envoys, I said envoys, do you know what an envoy is? Well, an envoy are they which have full authority. I really need you to listen to me. An envoy is someone that has full authority to represent their government. So an envoy is somebody that is representing their government with the full authority and power backing them of that government. And in the earthly kingdom, these earthly envoys would be sent to the richest and the most powerful dignitaries. That means those stuck-up rich people of the land to gain their support. You see, no one cared about the poor. No one cared about the meek. No one cared, Israel, nobody, about the lowly of the land. They were invisible. They were discarded. They were the useless to these people. No one would waste their time, power, resources, especially a government of substantial wealth, to make any investment in the poor. Would that make any logical sense? No, they kiss the ass and they lick the boots of the rich people to gain the rich people's support. But Yeshua HaMashiach, who had a kingdom, a government in the heavenlies that had no end of funds, it had a well that never dried up. There was bread that always came to feed the hungry. And Yeshua HaMashiach spent his time, his power, and his resources making an investment in the poor of the land. And many of you out there, that you have felt invisible, you have felt discarded, and at times you even felt, no matter your talent, useless. Yeshua HaMashiach is wanting to invest his time, power, and resources to make an investment in each and every one of you. Yeshua HaMashiach cared about the poor. This is why it says in Devarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verses 19 and 22, when thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field and hast forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, it shall be for the fatherless, and it shall be for the widow, that have Yahweh the Elohim, that Yahweh the Elohim may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest the olive tree, did you hear what I said? When thou beatest the olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be when the stranger, and it shall be for the fatherless and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of the vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger and for the fatherless and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that you were a bondman in Egypt. Therefore I command, I didn't ask, I command thee to do this thing. But what do these unrighteous, unrepented, false teachers and preachers try to do today? They try to preach a doctrine of exclusion. They don't care about the stranger. They certainly don't care about the fatherless. And they don't care about the widows. Indeed, do they not? No, you don't see it. You see some lip, but we don't see the fruit. We don't see the action take place. And I'm here to tell you that you're to take and leave a little bit of Jesus. Did you hear what I said? When your cup runs over and you're full of the Most High Yah, that you need to leave a little bit of Yeshua for the stranger. You need to leave a little bit of Yeshua for the fatherless out there that don't have a heavenly father, but they're going around seeking his grace. I said, you need to leave a little bit of Yeshua in the field, the olive tree. Don't take it all and don't glean it all, but love your brother as yourself, and you need to give freely what was freely given to you, and you need to take care and feed the poor. With the bread that they eat, that they shall never hunger again, and the water in which they drink, that they shall never thirst. For it reads in Matthew 12, verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break. This is something that is beat down, a cane, a reed, beat down, considered useless, trampled on, that it should be broken off then and discarded. For what use is it? And I'm going to say it right now, and you know deep down in your heart, for a lot of you, this is true. You look at everybody out there that is not following Torah. You look at everybody out there that is not in Straightway Truth Ministries, and you look at them as less than you. You look at them as beneath you. You look at them as just a heathen. You look at them as the rejected. You look at them as the unclean, not fit to sit with, not fit to eat with, not fit to pray with. But I'm here to tell you that the sick are the one that need the physician. Did you hear me? The whole aren't in need of a doctor, but the sick are the ones in need of a physician and a healer. So why don't you humble yourself and remember where you once were? Why don't you humble yourself and meet them where they're at and show mercy and show compassion and leave just a little bit of Jesus out there that somebody else can be sustained? You know, you want to eat at the master's table, and then you want to sweep up the crumbs that fall so that they can't have it. Shame on you. Shame on you. Because a bruised reed, Yeshua didn't break. Why are you trying to break it off? And a smoking flax, it says in Matthew 12, 20, a smoking flax shall he not quench. A smoking flax is a wick of a lamp that went out. You know, not put out completely. Not put out completely because it's still smoking. It's still smoking. And you know those that you minister to, that you can see just a little bit of light in them, can't you? You know those that come up to you and the Holy Spirit pricks you in the heart, and you know that they're truly reaching out, but they just have their eyes blinded and their ears are deaf and their legs are lame and they're covered in leprosy. And you know that they're there, but you just don't want to take the time to work with them. You just think that it's not your trouble. Well, I'm here to tell you out there that are hearing this message, and you're the broken reed, and you're the smoking flax. Yeshua isn't going to break you off, and the Yeshua is not going to quench you. The Messiah came to restore, and the Messiah came to make straight the broken down and the trampled. He came to light a flame of the Holy Spirit fire on those that were weakened and burnt out. He came to fix and restore each and every one of you that hear his voice. You have until your time ends, or you have until the time of his judgment. Allow the Messiah to do a wonderful work in you. Saints, I'm here to say you can't grow weary of helping the poor out there that need the gospel preached to them. And those are the ones that are also poor of spirit. Yeshua is making a demonstration. These other people didn't care about the poor of the land. They had no concern of them. They were only concerned about the wealthy and the ones that could act influence in the earthly realms. They didn't care about the ones that had a heart of Lazarus that could enact in the heavenly realms. Matthew chapter 9, 36. Matthew chapter 9, 36. While you grab that, I'm going to take a drink. All right, Matthew 9, 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. This is Yeshua. He was moved. When you see these multitudes of people, can't you see the hurt in their eyes, saints? I know at the feast days when you look out, oh, there's a joy, and a lot of that joy, you know, I don't like having to say, but I need to say, it's surface level. It doesn't run deep to the marrow and the bones. It's a surface level joy, and I want you to have the joy that I have. I want you to have the joy that a lot of my brothers and sisters have that are filled with the Ruach. I want that. And when Yeshua saw these multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted. They fainted. That means to loose. Fainted in the Greek is ikulo, and that is to loose, to unloose. It means to dissolve, to weaken, to relax. To relax because these multitudes, they relaxed the truth of the Most High. They exhausted themselves. This is to have one's strength relaxed, to be enfeebled spiritually through exhaustion. How many think that you're just beating at the air and you don't know which way to go and you don't have any hope? You begin to grow weak and you begin to grow weary and you begin to get tired out, don't you? You begin to become unresponsive to Yahweh's voice and his work. You become faint-hearted. And it says that, why is this happening to them? Because they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We need each other, saints. You need Yahweh's voice pieces to encourage you, to take the words on the page and make them a reality and to demonstrate their calling through signs and wonders that is fruit, that is evidence of who supports and backs their preaching and teaching. And I know that I can testify, and many of you out there hearing right now know that I have signs backing and following me. Many of you are hearing right now that know that by the laying on of hands that Yeshua has healed out of you through me. Yeshua has given your sons and you the rock through the laying on the hands that I've done by the power of the Most High Yah. There's evidence. And that is the hope that was within me. Go back now that we know that to Matthew 11, 6 through 8. And it says that blessed is he who shall not be offended. And that's skandalizo, and that's in the Greek, skandalizo. And that means, now get this, because you think like just offended is some big, you know, just like a monstrosity that just shoved you out of the way. No, when you actually go behind that word, that means stumble. So that doesn't mean trip till your ass fell on the ground. Haven't you ever walked and you just hit something wrong and you stumbled a little bit? I mean, you catch yourself, but you just stumbled a little bit. It's amazing how some out there stumble just a little bit, and they're right out of the faith. It's remarkable to hear, well, you know what was said? I didn't like the way he said it, so I just stumbled my ass out of the faith. You know, my job, they needed me to go in on the Shabbat, so I just went in that one time, and they forsook Yahweh's commandments, and they just stumbled a little bit right the heck on out of the faith. It also, scandalizo, means annoyed. Annoyed. Blessed is he whoever shall not be annoyed in me. And that would be enticed to sin. Why? Because of the stumble, because of the annoyance, because of the offense, that they be enticed to sin in what? In me, he said. Just like when Yeshua said, you'd have to eat of my body and drink of my blood. And many left that day, and to the point that he even said to his taught ones, would you leave me too? Would you leave me too? So when your wives leave you, or a husband leaves you, or your children reject you, or your best friend of your own bosom walks away from you because Yeshua brings a sort of division and you stand for the Most High, that you need to know that this is the calling of the Most High. You need to be strong and to know that this is going to happen. Because they're just annoyed a little bit. They just stumbled a little bit in Yeshua. And it says, as they departed, Yeshua began to say unto the multitudes concerning Yohanan, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? And that means a man that goes back and forth. You know these kind of men, right? These effeminate men. Someone that doesn't stand strong on what they believe. Did you go out and did you see that? But what did you go out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. That's just like these three-piece and four-piece and five-piece suit preachers out there, right? in their soft raiment with their soft spoken words. And when they're asked the hard questions, they can't even answer. Or they're asked the simple questions like, is homosexuality a sin? And they got to beat around the proverbial bush of hypocrisy and they can't answer. These are these reeds that are shaken, and these are these men that are clothed in soft raiment. And Yeshua says, is that what you would actually go out to see? And is that what you did see? And you have to ask yourself, do you see myself, or do you see others that are strong in the Most High Yah that you will actually take the time to listen to? Being like that, being wishy-washy, being effeminate, then why are you listening to them? It says that they that wear soft clothing, they are in the king's houses. And we see that, right, with Joel staying in his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 houses and his up king cars, in the same way with all of these diamond ring preachers out there. We see that they are sitting in the earthly king's houses. But it says in Matthew 11, 9 through 11, that, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yes, a prophet. Yes, I say unto you, more than a prophet. And we're going to get into what that means in a minute. More than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than Yohanan the Baptist. Now that's something for the Messiah to say, isn't it not? About Yohanan? But didn't he not come to be a servant? Notwithstanding, he that is least kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Did you hear what I said? How many of you out there esteem Yohanan the Immerser? Because I know for a fact that I do. I know for a fact that I do. Let's see if you're paying attention and hit 7 again. Hit 7 again, that if you esteem, that means you put up in a place of honor John the Baptist, Yohanan the Immerser. If you said, you know what, that man was a man of Yah. That man spoke the truth. That man was a true prophet like no other. That man is a man I would hope to be like. That's a man you should expect to be like. Well, Josh Turner, Brother Josh Turner says, I'll give that a 7, and so does Brother Ugly, and so does Brother Samuel Miles. They're all in agreement on that one. And I'm sure a lot of you others are too, and you'll be coming in. Now listen to this. It says that there has not been one that risen greater than Yohanan the Baptist, right? Notwithstanding he, did you hear what I said on this one? Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So if you are in the kingdom and operating in the kingdom of heaven, then why are you not operating greater than John the Baptist? You really got to look down and dig deep and ask yourself that one. Because Satan would want to say, oh, you're just trying to compare yourself among yourself. You know, you're just envying him. No, this is exactly what's written. Yeshua is the one that said it. He said that you should be greater than Yohanan the Immerser. Well, what does that mean? Well, chapter 11, verse 20 says, but if I, Yeshua is saying this again, but if I, with the finger of Elohim, cast out devils. So with the finger of Elohim, he cast out the devil. It just took a finger. It didn't take 2 fingers or 3. It didn't take the whole fist. It just took a finger to cast out the devils and to bring down Satan's kingdom. And Yeshua says, with this finger, I cast out devils. I bring forth power. I do the works of evidence of the fruit of the kingdom of Yah. If I do that, then no doubt the kingdom of Elohim has come upon you. So if you're operating in the power of the Ruach that is inside of you, and the Messiah can use you as a vessel to enact his heavenly power as a conduit into this earthly realm and to tear down Satan's kingdom, then the kingdom of Elohim is with you, and the kingdom of Elohim is upon you to be wherever you walk and wherever you go. You need to believe it. You need to be an envoy. You need to be a representative that has full authority, kingdom of heaven. Because John 14:12 says this. He doesn't say verily once. He says verily twice. Yeshua says, surely, surely, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, who would in here would like to say, I would love to do the works that Yeshua HaMashiach did here on this earth? Who here would say, I want to be one? Well, I say it. I want to be one that does even a fraction of what Yeshua HaMashiach does here on this earth. But I got to get my mind right. Did you hear what I said to you? I got to get my mind right. Because I could say, I wish, I hope, I expect to do a fraction, just a fraction of what the Messiah did when he walked this earth in a flesh suit. But I got to get my mind right and say, I want to do greater. I want to do greater than the works that the Messiah did here on this earth. I expect to do greater works than the Messiah did here on this earth because I am operating in the kingdom of Elohim. Can I get a so be it and an amen? You should have that same mindset too. Because Yeshua said himself that he that believe on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. So this is why that you are greater than John the Baptist, because the Ruach would come upon, but the Ruach is now inside of you. And it says that if you guard my commandments, that I and my Father shall make our abode inside of you, and that you be the dwelling place, you'll be the temple, you'll be the Sukkot of the Most High Yah. And that I will endue you with power upon high. And when you enact this here in the earthly realm, my literal kingdom has come upon you and is backing and is supporting you with its full authority and power. Yohanan did all of that without the Holy Spirit being inside of him and without. Now, the Holy Spirit did act on him. We know the evidence of. But the Holy Spirit says that, or Yahweh said to John, that the one who the Holy Spirit comes not only down upon, but the one whom the Holy Spirit remains, which was Yeshua, that one be the Son of Elohim. So Yeshua was the first one walking over here at that time that the Holy Spirit came down upon and remained upon. And now you are to be risen in him, and he makes his abode in you and empowers you. And now you have that power and working in you. Now you can understand and comprehend when it says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, the John the Baptist, who not one had risen greater than he. Man, you need to act like it, saints. You need to act like it. Matthew 11, verse 12. Matthew 11, verse 12. Now, I was going to take a break, but I just think we should just go right through and keep on preaching. What do you think? I think we should just hit it hard. Hit it hard. Hey, I'm not going to be long before you, saints, but I promise I'll be sweet. How about that? I won't be long before you, but I promise I'll be sweet. All right, here we go. I'll show you some sweetness. Matthew 11, verse 12 says, and from the days of Yohanan the Immerser until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. It suffers violence, and the violent take it. I really hope and expect you know what that means, but it's okay if you don't. You're gonna find out what it means. You're going to find out what it means right now. See, the kingdom, it suffered violence at the hand of these false priests, of these fake shepherds, of these blind stewards of unrighteousness that forsook Yah. Oh, yeah, they claimed him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. They co-mingled with unrighteousness manna that they brought in, and they tried to take that, the leaven of unrighteousness, and mix it in the heavenly bread, and that's bread that will not rise. It's bread that molds and spoils. And it says that, see, the priest, they forsook Yah. Oh, why they called them the Yah? But they did things like Christmas, and they did things like Easter, blaspheming Yahweh's name. And they murdered the prophets that came out and rebuked them and said, you need to get back on the straight path. You need to come back to the old ways and quit trying to follow these new teachings and these fresh doctrines. Come back to what you can count on. Come back to the rock. Come back to the heart of Yahweh. Come back to his word. Come back to Torah. Come back that you may live, because Yeshua doesn't want to see, Yahweh doesn't want to see you perish. Yahweh's grace is the prophets coming to you, showing you mercy, giving you the opportunity to repent and to turn from your wicked way rather than just killing you. And so the kingdom suffered violence that was permissible for a time. But now, guess what, saints? You need to know something. The violent will take the kingdom by force. That's the truth. That's what he said. That's what Yeshua said. The violent will take the kingdom by force. See, you have to, and you are going to have a fervent, passionate, righteous indignation. You are going to have to get angry. You are going to have to inconvenience yourself and just get a little bit upset. You're going to have to get angry that they lied to your pastors and that your pastors turned around and lied to you. You're going to have to get angry that a lot of your mothers and fathers, whether knowingly or unknowingly, lied to you. You're going to have to get angry that you didn't have enough common sense when you had the word sitting down in front of your face. It was more like an appeasing of your conscience just to have the word in your house or the word riding in your car, but you didn't actually open it and read it all those years that you had the opportunity. You're going to have to get angry about for time wasted. You're going to have to get angry again about all the lies. You're going to have to get angry about all the deception that took place. Can you get angry? Can you have a right to sing the nation with me? Then maybe you'll show a little passion. Then maybe you'll show just a little bit of urgency. Then maybe, even though the flesh is weak, you will show just how willing the spirit is. You're going to have to get mad and angry, and you must grab hold of the Messiah's kingdom and take what is rightly yours by inheritance of the promise given to your father, Abraham. You're going to have to get pissed off and leave no stone unturned in your life and strive to enter in. Do you hear me? You need to get passionate about this and grab and take hold of the kingdom and say, what is gripped in my fist, let no man remove. For I'm holding on to that kingdom and I'll never let go. You got to get frustrated and as upset as that woman of blood who gave everything in the natural and the spiritual that she had away, and she could not get a healing from anybody here on earth. She gave all. And when the Messiah came by, she grabbed hold of him, and power came out and went into her and healed and restored her. And what she was used to touching all those years, it would become unclean. If you knew what the law said, that whatever the woman that was in a menstruation or a time of blood would touch, that would be unclean, and she would defile it because the uncleanliness was stronger than what was working in that inanimate or sometimes animate object, right? If she touched her husband or her husband lied with her husband would become unclean, right? We know that's the truth because that's what the law says. But when she touched this one, that which he was accustomed to be making unclean, the power overrode that uncleanly power it was working in her. It overrode it through an unsurmisable, through an unstoppable force. And it pushed the uncleanliness right out of her and made her clean. And you are going to have to behave the same way when you touch the kingdom of Elohim, that you be made clean. And by no means do you ever, and I said by no means do you ever let it go. Ever. No matter who tries to persuade you, no matter who tries to grab onto you, no matter how hard it gets, never let go of Messiah and his kingdom. And it's going to take in you getting angry to make that happen. And maybe you will comprehend, and I get asked all the time, why do you yell so much? Well, I thought the word said, cry aloud and spare not. Well, why do you shout so much? Well, I thought that, you know, when you're a man of Yah and you've been ordained by many witnesses to prove such, that when you see evil coming, you're supposed to shout out, warn your brother and sister, and you're not to keep quiet. I got to do that to preserve my own soul. I know, but why do you got to say it like, am I not supposed to walk like Yeshua HaMashiach walk? Did not Yeshua love each and every one of us so much that he gave his own life for us? But yet did he not upbraid? Did he not rebuke firmly his taught ones and say to them, how much longer will I have to even put up with you? How much longer will I have to bear you, you faithless generation? The same one that loved them so much? Oh, the same one that loved them so much wouldn't look at Peter and said he had a devil in him, would he? But he did do that. Oh, that same one that loved everybody so much, he wouldn't go into the temple, take time, fashion a bullwhip. So that means it wasn't this anger that just jumps upon you. That means he looked at something and he got disgusted and he goes, you know what? It's time. I'm going to do something about it. And he went over and he took the time to braid and make a whip that he went in and whipped everybody's ass, all the money changers, out of that temple that he says, you make this a temple of thieves and dens and robbers. I serve that same Yeshua and I'm his representative. And yes, I'm angry. And I'm angry at all the sin. With the Holy Spirit working inside of me, I'm upset and it makes me sad and have a righteous anger at all the sin, hell, and the devil that's working out in this world. It makes me mad that the devil took the book of the Most High Yah and he joined into it to deceive the masses, to get them to obey man rather than Elohim. Yeah, that makes me a little bit upset. And yeah, that makes me a little bit angry. But guess what? I do plan to do something about it, and I am. You need to, too. We just have to use discernment and allow the Ruach to guide us and to know when to go in hard and to know when to be soft and gentle. Because you've got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, right? Matthew chapter 11, 13 through 15. Let's finish up on this. We just had the hour of power, saints. We just had the hour of power. And we're going to finish up on Matthew chapter 11, 13 through 15. And it reads here that for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, see, conditionally asking, will you? Just like, hey, the Eden wasn't a prison. He put a tree in Eden that we weren't supposed to eat of, right? That tree of knowledge to give us freedom to make a choice. You'll obey my commandment, and I told you not to eat of that tree, so you got a choice. Obey Satan, obey man, or obey Yah. What you gonna do? I want you to want to love me. How many of you husbands out there, I'll speak to the husbands, how many of you husbands out there want an Isha, want a wife that is forced to love you? Maybe some arranged marriage and she had to come to you or felt obligated to come to you, and you could just tell deep down, oh yeah, she did what you required of her, she did what you asked of her, and she ran a good home and took care of the children, but you could see she didn't have that deep agape love for you. You would want her to want you, not to be forced to be with you. You would want her to truly choose and to love you. And it was her decision to be with you. And that's what the Most High wants. And he's always wanted. He's wanted you to want to choose him. He gave you freedom. And that goes back to say, if he loves something so much, he was willing to let it go. And what he is wanting is for you to return. Can you return to him, saints? Can you return to the feet of the one that loved you so much? He was willing to let you go. And it says, if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was to come. And if you receive him as a prophet, you should receive a prophet's reward, correct? That's what Messiah says. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what does this mean? That when it says that I say unto you, more than a prophet, what does it mean when it says that all the prophets and the law prophesied until Yohanan? What it means is that all the law and the prophets proclaimed the coming of Messiah. All the law and the prophets, when you read what they call the New Testament, when you read all of that in the letters and everything, they are all repeating what's in the law and the prophets to each other. That was their dictionary. That's how they defined their life. That's how they defined their doctrine. And that's how they could interpret who was of Yah and who wasn't. All the law and the prophets proclaimed the coming of the Messiah. Yohanan proclaimed the Messiah is here. The law and the prophets of old proclaimed the Messiah was coming. However, Yohanan proclaimed the Messiah is here. We must proclaim that the Messiah was proclaimed to come. We must proclaim that he came, and now we must proclaim that he is coming again. Glory to the King. Saints, I encourage you, proclaim that the kingdom is at hand and act as an envoy of a spiritual kingdom, the heavenly kingdom's power and authority, and act that here on earth. Have the faith and confidence and meekness and humbleness of what Yeshua said, that you would be greater than Yohanan the immerser, he who's least operating my kingdom, who's in my kingdom. Have the faith to say that I will do and I will enact here on earth the very works that Messiah did, and I will also enact greater works. And if you're not doing that, keep dying to the flesh daily through prayer and through fasting and the reading of the word. Let it wash you over. And the praying in heavenly tongues that is to build up that spiritual man. You need to be taking time to do this every single day. In season and out of season. To strengthen you. That you can be that earthly representative of the kingdom. And have the confidence to say these things. See, they would teach you out there. Who are you to make yourself to say you would do greater works than Jesus? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to think for a second you can do greater works than John? That is the voice of the enemy. That's the voice of Hasatan. I believe the voice, and you need to believe the voice of Yeshua HaMashiach. He came here not to strengthen him and make himself great. He came to strengthen and to make the name of Yahweh in the kingdom great. He came to show you exactly what you need to do, and you need to walk as Yeshua walked. 1 John chapter 1 talks about that. And when you do all of this, you must remain humble, and you must go to the poor. Now, the poor just aren't the ones that have the gospel preached. Well, that doesn't make any logical sense, because Yeshua did say that they that are whole, they don't need a physician, that they are sick are the ones that need the physician. The poor are the ones that are beggarly. The poor are the ones that are lacking, that are spiritually bankrupt, that are out with the dogs. And you must discern who they are and go out and bring them the children's bread that they can eat and be nourished. You must. I really need you to listen to me. You must, as representatives of Yahweh's kingdom, like I just talked to you about for this last hour, you must go out to the poor and you must have them receive their sight. You must have them be the lame restored into walking. You must go out and have the lepers cleansed. You must go out and have the deaf hear. You must go out and raise the dead up from where they are at. You must go out and proclaim the kingdom of Yah is at hand and do it with violence, do it with integrity, and do it with force. Be strong, saints, and know for an surety your king, he is.